This next segment is brought to us by our friends at the Tea Party. Steve Isom is here sitting with me. Steve, how are you?
Good to be here, Frank.
Oh, thank you very much. And regardless of what our friend Bill West says about
Bill West, outstanding reporter for Non-Daily Paper in South Carolina.
You're just looking for good press, aren't
every
you?
Every Friday, come to the Casey Mafia breakfast meeting at Brunches. It's a great place to come.
Okay. All right. Now, we have a guest of yours on the phone right now. It's Dr. Larry Parks. Larry, how are you, sir?
I'm terrific.
Good
to be on the show.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. You are the executive director of an organization called FAME, the Foundation for the Advancement of Monetary Education.
That's right. It's a 501c3 public charity whose mission is to educate people about the benefits of an honest monetary system and the perils of irredeemable paper ticket money, which is the kind we have now.
Okay. Explain that to the layman, what you're talking about.
Well, historically, going back to the founding of this country, the sovereignty of the monetary system was supposed to be in the hands of the people, not in some banking cartel. And so if the people wanted more money, the idea is you go mine gold and silver. They had something called free coinage. You take it to the mints. They make the gold and silver into coins, and that's your money. So today, all of our money is created flat out of nothing by the banking system, and they have become fabulously rich at the expense of everybody else.
When did this happen?
Well, the big push came at the time of the Civil War. However, after the Civil War, there was another big push to return to gold and silver as money, and President Grant signed the resumption legislation in 1869 to take effect in 1874, and that was the most prosperous time in the country. But it was really at the time of the Depression, Great Depression, when Roosevelt seized the gold, made it a felony for Americans to own gold. Can you imagine? For 40 years, it was a felony to own gold, and that really pushed us over the edge.
Okay, so what year then?
That was 1933 that Roosevelt did that.
So we haven't been on a gold standard since the 30s?
Well, what happened was, even though he could make it a felony for Americans to own gold, what about foreigners?
Right.
And why would foreigners accept an irredeemable paper ticket in exchange for their goods and services? So they left it that foreigners could exchange. And that was put into legislation very formally after the Bretton Woods agreement, as World War II was ending. And so the notion was that the dollar would be as good as gold. Why is it as good as gold? Was because foreign central banks and foreign governments could redeem it for gold.
Mm. Now,
but Nixon stopped that.
Okay, well, I am not an expert on this at all. Steve keeps on asking me my position. I don't know enough to have a position. Reflecting on this, I heard something about the Nixon administration, maybe that there was something done then to push us even further into this paperless.
But the way to understand this, and the way everybody can understand it, is when money is created out of nothing, somebody gets something for nothing. Something for nothing, somebody else gets nothing for something. And the people who are getting the nothing for something are ordinary working people whose savings and promises of future payment, their pensions, whatever, are literally evaporating as we speak.
Larry, how about the fractional reserve system? Are you alluding to that?
Well, that's how the banks create money. I mean, the jargon for is, they don't, when you go in for a loan, they don't tell you, well, we're going to create the money. They have this jargon. They say, well, we're doing fractional reserve lending. I mean, all kinds of jargon to confuse people.
You
don't understand what's going on. But basically, they're getting fabulously rich with doing nothing, just keying, pushing paper around off the backs of working America and people all over the planet.
Of course, we're in the weeds when you start talking about fractional this, that, and the other thing. Most people are having a hard time understanding what we're generally.
Just think of it as creating money out of nothing.
Yeah. Okay. So you are... Are you working with the Tea Party movement? What's your relationship?
I am a consultant. I'm just in the education business.
Okay.
We have a 501c3 public charity, and we educate people about this. We have no political affiliation whatsoever.
And I notice here that you were also a member of the Workers Education Local 189.
Well, that has now morphed into Association of Labor Educators. But I am a very long-time member of the UAW, United Auto Workers, 1981, which is the National Writers Union.
Oh.
And I've been involved in the labor movement a good part of my life.
Oh, that's interesting. How are the unions doing?
Well, the unions, as you may know, are doing terribly. And really, it's reflected in the decrease in union membership and really the decrease in the standard of living of ordinary people. Ironically, in the 19th century, the whole issue with the money issue was well understood by labor. And at the end of the 19th century, they came out with slogans. I'm talking about the American Federation of Labor. They said, we want money that doesn't depreciate at home or abroad. Mm-hmm. Why should your money depreciate? If you go to work and you save it, why should it lose value?
That's exactly mm-hmm. right.
Okay.
Right, and that's what they said. And they said they had another line also, which was terrifically well put. And they were talking about legal tender, which is something people don't understand now. It's really, the notion is that if you don't accept the irredeemable paper ticket money, you're not entitled to be paid. What the labor people said at the end of the 19th century is that if the money is good, they're talking about the paper money, why should you be forced to use it? And if the money's not good, why should you be forced to use it? Mm. And today we're forced to use this irredeemable paper ticket money, which just benefits the financial guys at the expense of everybody else.
All right. I'm talking with Dr. Larry Parks. He's executive director of the Foundation for the Advancement of Monetary Education. And this Steve Eisenman is here, who is one of the leaders of the Tea Party movement here in the state. And the issue is around, of course, the money and what backs it up. And this whole thing comes in the terminology is called sound money.
Well, it's had different phrases, you know, different ways of putting it along the way, sometimes called sound money. The union people in the 19th century called it honest money. And one of the things they objected to at the inception of labor in America, I'm talking about organized labor, this was in 1832, and one of the first unions formed in those days was something called the Topographers Union. And there were three issues that got people to join unions in those days. One was the 10-hour workday. The other was what they called education for workers, and then there was what they called honest money. And what they were complaining about was that employers were buying up this paper money, banknotes, at a discount and paying the laborers, paying the workers with this paper, and then when the workers went to turn it into gold or whatever, they lost maybe 10% or who knows what. Mm. So, and in fact, in those days, that's when Andrew Jackson was president. He was railing against the banks, and the guy who was the first president of this union, the Topographers Union. His name was Ellie Moore. He was the first labor guy to run for Congress, and he won.
Mm. So what is the solution that you're looking for here? What are you advocating?
Well, my role in this is education. What I want to see is all the issues on the table so people can see what's what. I mean, right now, there's so much misinformation and disinformation. The monetary authorities lie to us about everything. I mean, there used to be this great line about Lyndon Johnson. They used to say, if his lips are moving, he's lying. Well, that's the way it is with these monetary guys. Their lips are moving, they're lying. And
we say that now about a lot of different folks, so there you go.
It's true. I mean, when we were kids, you know, when I was a kid, I think I'm older than the rest of you, you know, the notion is that we were the good guys. Mm-hmm. Our politicians didn't lie. We were on the side of God and right and whatnot. I mean, today you can't even recognize what these guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, he has this thing now. It's called inflation targeting. Well, what does that mean? It means they want to push for a particular depreciation of the money. In other words, that's what inflation targeting is. They say, well, 2% is okay. So 2% of your savings drift away every year, mm-hmm. they say. But the truth of the matter is the depreciation of the money today is in double digits all over the country. And if you look at commodities, it's like into 30, 40% a year on year, almost everything you go into the supermarket to buy.
All right. So let me switch over here to Steve. So what is it you would like, I guess, the federal government or even the state government to do?
The state government, we're having a meeting, Frank, I think you have notes there, on February 7th and 8th about sound money. We have the first joint hearings on February 8th at 4 p.m. at the Gresset Building. And the person leading this is one of the heroes of the Patriot Tea Party groups in South Carolina, Senator David Thomas, chairman of the Banking Insurance
Committee. He stood me up today.
Really?
Yeah, he was late coming from Greenville. I got another appointment tomorrow.
Well, Representative Mike Pitts is there. We have a large number, and you need to come to breakfast, right? Some of these guys will be there, but a large number of people are seeing that the citizens of South Carolina, their savings, their pensions are not safe, and this is what Larry's referring to. We don't have, whether it's called sound money, honest money, we don't have an honest reserve of your hard labors put away that you can depend on. Everyone I know has lost money, whether it's the stock market, housing market, something. And this should not, fractional reserve system is a great tool used the right way. But, Larry, my opinion is that when we got off the silver gold standard, that was a turning down point in our economic history. Our manufacturing's gone overseas and all these other things, but we have to have an honest or a sound money system for our system to work.
Larry, how hard would it be for the United States to switch back to a gold standard?
Well, we're not talking about the gold standard. We're talking about gold and silver as money.
Okay.
And the way to do that...
You're not saying that everybody's going to walk around with gold and silver in their pocket, are you?
No, what happens is you deposit the gold somewhere and you get a piece of paper, but the piece of paper is just a promise to pay gold.
Okay.
So it's just like you pay with a credit card or a check. When you pay with a check, the check isn't money. It's a promise to pay money. Someone has to go cash it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But the easy way to do this, and our hero in the Congress, Dr. Ron Paul, has the solution, and he's proposed it every couple of years now. It's in committee. It's called the Competition and Currency Act. And what it does, number one, it gets rid of legal tender. Legal tender is the coercion in the system. And without coercion, what you'll find is that, like after the Civil War, the long-term transactions for people who are getting paid in the future, their pensions or whatever, they will put a gold clause in to protect them from the depreciation of the paper. For the day-to-day stuff, it doesn't matter. You get paid, you go to the grocery. What do you care if the money depreciates?
Okay.
But it's your pension and stuff that's promised for later. So Ron Paul's act does that. The second thing it does is it eliminates all the taxation on gold and silver. So right now, if you take your irredeemable paper ticket money and buy gold, and the paper ticket money depreciates to zero, you got to pay over taxes on the so-called gain in your gold and silver. So it eliminates those taxes. And the third thing it does is it reopens the mints to free coinage. And so the idea is if you have gold and silver, you bring it to the mint, they make coins.
All right, so,
and the benefit of coins is that when you go to exchange them for something, people don't have to assay it, they don't have to weigh it, they can just count it.
All right. How do you give every American, they have money in their pocket, they have no gold, silver. How do you reverse that process?
Well, one of the things I'd like to see is supposedly there's something like 280 million ounces of gold stored in Fort Knox and West Point and the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Let's distribute that all per capita to America. It's enough for about a 1 ounce coin for almost every living person in the country. You could start that way.
But that's not going to, what's the value of that?
Well, here's the problem, is that, all around the world, for the whole century, irredeemable paper ticket money, the purchasing power approaches its cost of production, mm-hmm. which is zero.
Right.
However, in every country where you've had a currency collapse, and there's many of them, they always had an alternate currency. And the alternate currency was the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do when the dollar goes?
Well, we're screwing up everybody else's economy, aren't we?
Well, we screw up your own. I mean, there's a metaphor I like. I don't know if you ever saw the Superman 2 movie. And it starts off, there's a helicopter that comes in and hits a guide wire on the Pan Am building. Pan Am building used to have a heliport. And it tips over, and Lois Lane is in the helicopter, and she's falling down to certain death. But fortunately, Clark Kent is on the ground. He sees it in the flesh. He's in a Superman outfit. He rushes up, and he catches her in midair, and the dialogue goes like this. He says to her, "Don't worry, miss." He says, "I've got you." And she says to him, "But who's got you?"
I remember that.
Now, that's the dollar holding up all these currencies. The only reason all these currencies in South America and all of the world have any value is because you can convert them into dollars.
Right.
But when the dollar goes, it's over.
Dr. Larry Parks, Executive Director of the Foundation for the Advancement of Monetary Education. If you want to read more about it, can you go to your website, LarryParks.com?
It's fame.org. And also,
fame.org?
Also, if you search on Blip TV, blip.tv,
mm-hmm.
there's about 40 television shows I've done on this.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you
taking the time.
My pleasure.
Thanks,
all right,
Larry.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, very good. And Steve, the thing you were talking about is February the 7th. There's an evening program. It only costs $45 in gold or paper. I'm not sure. to do this thing. And your guest is going to be featured speaker is Dr. Edwin Vieira.
Yes.
He apparently is a god or something of the Tea Party.
not the Tea Party.
Okay.
Well, Harvard, just not exactly the Tea Party.
And then, of course, on February the 8th at 4 p.m., there's a joint committee on the hearings of the House and Senate on sound money.
Here in South Carolina.
Senator David Thomas and Mike Pitts will be orchestrating that.
Historic event in South Carolina. SCSoundMoney.com will be, that link will be active tomorrow.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thank you.
Good luck.
As always, it's fun.
All right, thanks. All right, let's take a break. Come right back. We'll have Phil Bailey, South Carolina Senate Democratic Caucus. Stick around for more of You Need to Know, 1230 WOIC. I'm Frank Knapp.